good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel here, joined today by Kyle.
Hi.
We are actually driving in the state of Louisiana, hoping to make it just far north enough to see the eclipse on Monday, which, when you're hearing this, will have been yesterday. And in fact, you'll find out if we got there, because we're recording part of the show the Saturday before the eclipse, and the rest of the show on eclipse day, and hopefully during the eclipse moment. And I don't think we've ever done that before. I don't think we ever recorded an eclipse for radio.
We've certainly talked about a lot of stuff in space, and definitely weather, odd weather. This is kind of a confluence of a couple of those things, and of course, us being really interested in that stuff, we're joining the rest of the eclipse chasers to witness it and bring it to you, our off-the-wall audience.
That's right. And we've had an interesting trip up until now. We've done it in the unique way that I think only we can pull off. It started in Seattle. We actually flew out to Seattle to take care of some things out there. And everything from that point has been by train. We took a train down Seattle to the Bay Area, then the Bay Area to Los Angeles, and then a trip we never took before, Los Angeles to New Orleans, on the southern route that Amtrak has. And that's where we got our rental car, and now we're heading up north. We're going to come back to New Orleans, spend some time there, and then hopefully take another train back to New York. So it's an awesome way to travel. We've met so many cool people and just seen so many amazing sights.
Yeah, it's been about, I think for me, shedding preconceived notions and a lot of the attitudes that you might have from media and rumors and stuff like that. We needed to get here, at least I did, to see firsthand what is it like. I remember listening in 2005 to the Katrina events and wondering and very, very much feeling what kind of struggle and heartbreak that act of nature was.
I remember doing that show, actually. I was in Japan when I found out about Katrina, and I recorded a show in a hotel room in Japan, just upset beyond all words about what was happening back in my country, which I couldn't get to at the moment. And, well, now, you know, we are in our country, and it's there are crises of a whole different nature. I want to focus a little bit on some of the things we've seen along the way, but I also want to focus on what's been going on here in this nation.
So, like I was saying, L.A., California, I've been in the Northwest a lot. I mean, I've made a couple token trips when I was younger, but I never walked it, never tried to explore L.A. or get to know what is quite an interesting, growing transit system. But stuff like that, I think, helps you get comfortable. You're actually shoulder to shoulder with people that use the transit, the everyday life in what is sort of West Hollywood. We were there in the beaches. Instead of getting, you know, just a canned perspective, being on the street and seeing that, getting a feel, getting a sense of what everybody is like there on the day-to-day basis, but also in light of, as you said, what's going on. So my attitudes about L.A. have changed a little bit. There are some attributes of it that that ring true from what I had in mind going into it. But other slices of that life, I think, are really worth embracing, because it's a really big place. It's a really spread out place. There's a lot of car driving and automobile culture because of that. So you're actually not with the mainstream when you take public transit. And being that we took the train down from Seattle, we wanted to keep with that and explore the transit system as much as we could, with people that commute, people that are just kind of going about their lives. You end up waiting a bit. It's not as frequent as what you would expect in the tri-state area or another large city, but it's usable. I found it really, really usable, lots of different modes, and I don't know, what did you think?
Well, I've noticed in the cities that we've been to, everyone seems to have this day pass with an RFID card,
That's right. The contactless chip card. It basically, it's a near-field communication. You basically load it up with money. Different ways. Everybody calls it something else, but it's a credit card, and you go to a kiosk or a machine, you place the card next to it, dip your credit card or however you're paying, and that balance gets you through the day. And some of them have, as you said, like a day pass. That's the deal. That's the thing to do. You got to look for those.
Yeah, well, for people like us who are just traveling through, like we were in L.A. only for one day, but we packed a lot into that. We went down to Santa Monica by bus and came back by light rail. We wandered around Hollywood and went to West Hollywood. We even saw Donald Trump's star on the Walk of Fame. I'm going to get into that right now.
Well, there were a lot of stars there, but we did happen to walk on his star, yes.
Yes, we walked on it quite a bit.
Wiped our feet.
There were people spitting on it. It was something to see. But, yeah, the transit thing, and this is coming to New York. At some point, New York will have this, hopefully in the next couple of years, where basically you just have this hard plastic card, and you hold that up to the bus you're getting on or the turnstile you're going through, and it just works. And it deducts your fare. And also, you know, it keeps track of where you've been, which is a little scary. I thought it was amazing. We visited a friend in San Jose, and in San Jose they use the same system as they use in San Francisco as far as the card. They have different transit systems up there. I'm sorry, I'm going up to the Bay Area. But they have BART, they have Muni, they've got whatever they have in San Jose. But you can store it all on one card, even though it's different systems. And basically, what I thought was amazing was that there's an app on your phone where you hold the card up to your phone, and through the near-field communications, it's able to tell you how much is on the card. That is awesome.
Yeah, we haven't explored it. We got to get that app. But it's really cool that the phone's near-field communication system can energize a card, power it in essence, and then regurgitate some of the public or readable data to your app, telling you things like balance and also where you've been, which is really amazing. If a total stranger is showing you this, it's a little bit eerie that they can tell you exactly where you've been, what you've been doing, and maybe tell if you've been fibbing about it. But the system, I believe, is called the Clipper, and then in LA it's the Tap. That's the name of the card systems.
We're passing a space center from NASA here in Louisiana. I think we're about to cross. I think we just crossed into Mississippi, actually.
The Stennis Space Center, yeah, and I believe they do some of the building for the new what is it called, Atlas, I think, rockets. Parts and pieces of that are being assembled. They bring them in on barges. On the Mississippi, I think, or some of the major waterways, and that system is competing with the SpaceX system, but it's a different consortium.
The official slogan, apparently, in Mississippi is "Pick it up, Mississippi." I don't know if that means move your asses if you're going too slow, or pick up the litter you just threw out of your car. I'm not really sure, but that is what I just saw on the highway.
That's probably a highway litter sign, and them emphasizing, you know, this is something we're about as a state. What are we doing? We're going under a rail pass here. We got some freight.
Yeah, I'm in Mississippi. I'm officially scared. But that's what happens.
MISSISSIPPI. I remember that from grade school. Also, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi.
All right. That's we know more about Mississippi than that.
No, that's all I know.
Well, anyway, so we've been experimenting with transit systems in different cities. You know, I love Oakland. Oh my God, I never thought I would like Oakland, but we stayed in Oakland, and it turns out actually this is something really kind of amazing. There is a part of Oakland called Jack London Square, and in that part there is a block or two where the train goes straight down the street. Now, we had seen this. We talked about this in Off the Wall a few weeks ago, where we found a crossing in Kentucky. We might actually make it to Kentucky, too, so we could actually see that. But there's a crossing where freight trains go down the street, and that's pretty awesome. But this is even better because it's Oakland. It's two tracks. Freight trains go down the street. So do Amtrak trains, and they go down quite frequently. And we stayed in a place that's right on that street, and it was just so amazing. But also the spirit of Oakland is just this kind of rebellious and down to earth type of a city, and I felt very, very comfortable there, and it was a good home base for us to explore the other cities around it, such as San Francisco and Berkeley, and just to kind of wander the streets and feel like we really belonged.
That's right. Jekyll and Square is right on the water, and in fact, we ventured into the San Francisco Bay Area via a ferry that goes across from Jack London, another different mode in the theme of transportation, and it used the same contactless payment method, which is really, really how these things, it's where they shine. It's how it's supposed to work. We've got some observations about where these things don't work, but when they do, it really shines. It really is what it's for.
Well, you know, San Francisco has old streetcars. They've brought them in, it seems, from everywhere, because you see different city names on them, and they've cleaned them up amazingly. They're from, like, the 50s, but they look brand new. And every streetcar is different. Every streetcar has different colors and different city names. Now, the contactless card works on those as well, because that's a form of mass transit. What it doesn't work on, though, is the cable car, the famous iconic San Francisco cable car that goes up the steep hills and actually is run by a cable. That'll cost you $7. But, you know, it didn't cost us $7 because they never got to us on the cable car. It was so jam-packed. We got on two or three stops in, and we wanted to pay, but they just never got to us. And by the time we got to Lombard Street, that crazy hill that is really super steep, and we got up, no one had ever asked us for our $7 fare, so we got away with that unintentionally. That kind of thing happens every now and then.
Yeah, especially with large tourist attractions, and sometimes you just keep your head down and, you know, mind your own business. There's plenty of people, tourists, of, I think, extra goodwill, willing to shell out whatever it was, $35 if you got a couple kids with you. I mean, they're, you know, they're charging. They're definitely charging. But at the same time, they're making money. I don't feel so bad about, you know, sneaking a lift on that thing. It's not like we were in the way, and they really did pack it in. They aren't losing money on that, I don't think.
I have to say, it's just as entertaining to watch it go by. We saw people taking pictures and filming it as it went by. It's just as much fun as it is getting on the thing in the first place, because you can pretty much imagine what it's like to be on it, and you can see it going by for free. And there's all kinds of ways you can enjoy yourself in all these cities, just walking around and taking in the sights without having to, you know, pay through the nose. But anyway, we continued. L.A. was really amazing. We went all the way out to the beach in Santa Monica Pier, and it was just cool to do that in between trains. And then we got on our last train so far, which was 2 days to New Orleans. And I have to say, you know, traveling on the train, I've said this before, it's the best way to travel, because you meet all kinds of kindred spirits. We've met people from North Carolina and from Tokyo, and all kinds of places, Texas, people we probably wouldn't agree with on a lot of political matters, although sometimes we did, and we talked about that. But when you're kind of sharing a travel experience together, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. You get to enjoy the person as a human being, and hopefully that matters in a different way. Hopefully that makes you not condemn people quite so quickly when they don't agree with you on something else. And maybe you can get people to listen on other issues when they come up. But all that aside, it was really a great journey. They made us feel very comfortable on Amtrak, and they just have this amazing sense of humor, I think, the staff on the trains, because they see it all, and nothing really fazes them.
It's true, yeah. No, I think train people in general, they tend to have an open mind. They realize it's a place to be social, especially if it's not a new experience. You know, people are familiar, especially with the dining, open seating arrangements and so forth. Interesting folks. I mean, people of all walks of life. I think we saw some people that were Pennsylvania Dutch, or at least they were describing the language that their children spoke. But I think they were heading south.
Mennonite, I think, is what they're called.
Yes, the Mennonite I guess it's a religion or community, similar to the Amish, but of course distinct in their own way. All kinds of travelers, families, individuals who maybe used to drive and are looking for a way to travel without being in control of a large vehicle themselves, and people on trips with their friends, just looking to have a good time. All of that stuff. Just you have this confluence of people traveling and enjoying the trip.
It's an interesting mix because you can spend a lot of money traveling by train. You can spend thousands of dollars for a cross-country trip if you have a room and you're paying with cash. You can pay very little if you're riding in coach, but you're on the same train and you can mingle with the people who are paying a lot. Or you can even pay nothing at all if you figure out the point system and you have a credit card that accumulates points that you can redeem for free travel. There's all sorts of things you can do on the train and all kinds of ways of traveling on the train. And I think the people that we've seen appreciate that and realize it's so much better than flying because you can stretch out, you can walk around, you don't have to go through all the searches and craziness and stress of airplane travel. And you get to see what's around. You get to look out the window. We saw one of the surveillance drones that was parked by the Mexican border. It was just parked on the ground there, you know, like the kind that got loose a couple years ago near Maryland and had to be followed until it crashed. All kinds of things you see out the window that you just can't believe.
You saw a very strange art project that it was basically the storefront for a high-fashion designer turned into an art project, and the intention behind it was really interesting.
Yeah, we were driving through the desert in Texas, and through the other window on the other side of the train, I suddenly saw a little building that said Prada. I was like, God, we just passed a Prada outlet in the middle of the desert. There's nothing else around. What in God's name was that? And fortunately, we had some reception. I was able to look up on my phone and find out exactly what it was. In fact, it was an art installation that was put there to resemble a Prada outlet. It caused a share of controversy. But it was just really cool to see that and to be able to look it up and figure it out so quickly while we were there on the train. We've also been able to do all kinds of other things. We've been able to connect to our cable network and see television programs occasionally, to update ourselves on what's going on in the world. We've been able to send text messages and write emails and just do work on our laptops while we're traveling. So I think that's really cool. But then you get tired of that, you decide you want to take a walk and hang out in the observatory car and just watch the scenery go by, or maybe get a meal, which they're all taken care of when you have a sleeper. That's the magic of train travel.
Yeah, in the vein of connectivity, I guess, let's see, the Coast Starlight did not have ubiquitous Wi-Fi throughout the train. They had, I believe, Verizon MiFi. They're these small little, looks like a big pager, I guess, a little device that is a hotspot. So it uses cellular, and then you get a local access point. They were posting the password, and each car had a different one. It's a little bit ad hoc, but they were definitely trying on that train to provide some kind of service. Of course, it's only as good as the cellular reception, which most people have through their own device.
Yeah, I was tethering with my own phone and getting much better response than their Wi-Fi. So that was good enough to actually connect. Although, you know, I'm glad we use shell-based email because web-based email, it's a lot of overhead, takes a lot longer to load, and that was more problematic. But it also was good enough sometimes for videos and for downloading things, so I didn't really have any complaints. They did try. They had Wi-Fi on some trains, not on all trains. But then again, you know, remembering our Canadian rail trip, people are sometimes happy not to have connectivity. So I kind of buy into that now and then. It's good not to be reachable.
Yeah, you don't have to be up on everything. You don't have to be connected all the time. I find when you reconnect, you didn't miss that much. The world gets on, but it's you're not that far behind. It doesn't take long with whatever news reader or way you consume what's going on in the world. It doesn't take long to catch up and get up to speed. The other thing I wanted to mention connectivity-wise was the journey across to New Orleans from... am I saying that right? New Orleans? New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Okay, now we're going to get mail about that, I'm sure. But that trip had pretty decent cellular coverage the entire way. There were a couple spots where there was not coverage, but by and large, it was very easy to use your phone or as you said, create a tether to use a computer and browse things. And, of course, the LTE services are now around 30 megabit average and higher, depending on the provider. So that's pretty much like having a cable modem, although wireless. So really not a problem there. Really interesting stuff along the border in Texas. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, we saw Mexico. We passed right next to it. In fact, my phone even welcomed me to Mexico at one point. You get to see into Juarez next to El Paso, and that's kind of cool. Basically, some people told us, yeah, you'll see people trying to run and get on the train. I didn't see anything like that. I didn't even see a single person. But you see DHS, Homeland Security, Border Patrol people in their trucks next to the border speeding around. And like I mentioned, you see the drone, which is used for surveillance and catching people trying to get into our country.
Yeah, you wouldn't know that was there unless you saw it. There's no information about other locations other than the one that did get away in Maryland. So by passing through on the train, similar to seeing what's going on at Vandenberg when you take the train on the Coast Starlight, Vandenberg Air Force Base, that is, by going on the route through Texas and so on, you see these installations. And, of course, you're near the border, so why not have this vehicle there, presumably to look for missiles from Mexico? I get that's what they say. It's for airborne stuff, but it can also be used to track things on the ground. Suffice to say, we saw it. We know it's there now. And little observations like that are interesting. We were actually in closer proximity to DHS when we were trying to figure out what track we were on leaving Santa Monica area, San Jose area, but that was a whole different story.
Yeah, definitely. Getting back though to the connectivity, that was especially important during this trip because of everything that's been going on, and we absolutely have to address that in the few minutes that we do have. And of course, that is what happened a week ago in Charlottesville, Virginia. Imagine the frustration of being on the road and trying to figure out what's going on. Fortunately, we were able to stay connected fairly well, and we were able to, via Twitter, hear what people were saying. But we're seeing the reaction everywhere we go. In Oakland, there were marches against the outright racism that was being displayed there. We're seeing it just now in New Orleans. There was an alt-right march scheduled today, the same day that the alt-right march in Boston was scheduled, and met with counter-protesters. We just went to get coffee, and outside the coffee place, which, I'm not kidding, has three seats in it, there was a SWAT truck and a bunch of cops armed to the gill, and they were expecting possible trouble. Now, since we're eclipse chasing, we weren't able to stick around and see exactly what happened, but we are monitoring that situation. But boy, this country is I've never seen anything like this ever. And you know, we say this week after week that we cannot believe what Trump is going to do next, what he has said this past week. But seeing this and realizing that all of our fears pretty much are being realized, that we have basically a white nationalist in the White House, in the presidency, it's just hard to come to terms with. But, you know, it's no longer us saying that. He is now saying that himself. And I think even people on the right, Republicans, people who supported him, are seeing that. And I welcome their realization that, wow, this is a dangerous situation that we're getting involved in. I also feel this amazing sense of pride just watching fellow citizens and how they react to this and how they come out in support of people who are standing up for everybody, for the rest of us. And we couldn't have had that 10, 20 years ago. So while Donald Trump is a step backwards, I think we've all made many steps forwards. And we're going to get through this. We're going to figure out how to move past what we have right now. I don't think it's going to last much longer. I really don't. I think he has basically isolated himself so much. Steve Bannon was fired yesterday, which is a good thing, of course. But it just shows how he's alienated everybody around him, good people and bad people. Not very many good people have been around him, but it's just very telling to see how this is all playing out.
Yeah, it's really kind of disgraceful that the office is unabashed, unapologetically mincing words and foolishly trying to use the rationalization of the white supremacists that are marching and so on. Their narrative, it's weak. It's really, really weak. It's idiotic. And he tried it. He really tried, that is, the president tried to use the logic and the rationale, but it doesn't really hold water. It's weak, and it made him look absolutely terrible and absolutely fiercely in the wrong. And people are pointing it out, and what's happening, and what I'm really proud of, as you said, is people rising to the occasion, people speaking out and shaming this idiocy, this nationalist rhetoric that it has no place in modern society, and the conflating of historical references and the just twisting of logic, it doesn't work. People are smarter than this, and the smart people who realize what the attempt is, what is trying to be made of it, are really dousing the flames of this rage with the appropriate retardants and water.
Even Fox News, even the New York Post have been basically criticizing Trump for what he has said. I think the Post had a headline when he said that there were decent people in that march. Unbelievable things. It was so easy for him, you know, so easy to say, wow, this is a horrible thing. It was a terrorist act that took place in Charlottesville. It's incredible how slow not only the elected officials, but also the media, how slow they are to realize that it's the same thing. You know, driving a car into a crowd of people is the same thing as driving a car into a crowd of people in a different city. You know, it's terrorism. There's no question about it. But, you know, to see the right-wing media actually finally starting to get it as well, that to me is something that it's a very telling moment, because you realize he's losing everybody. Now, that makes me a little frightened, because this guy's got a lot of power. This guy has, you know, he could start a war tomorrow, and he's being pushed into a corner. He's pushing himself into a corner. But that is who he is. That is who was elected. He was somebody that we always knew could go off the rails. And right now he has a lot of power, a lot of anger, and we need to be really, really careful. We need to keep our eyes on what he does next. And it's the next couple of weeks. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be very interesting. It's super interesting that we're here in the middle of Mississippi now having this conversation as we drive as fast as we possibly can, because we're trying to get to the eclipse. And it looks like there's a big thunderstorm ahead of us as well, so that makes it even more fun. We're going to close this section out with our closing thoughts, because we want to also give you some coverage of what actually happened yesterday, Monday, the 21st of August, when we hopefully made it to see the eclipse.
Yes, we could go on and on. The way free speech is being used as a vehicle for hate speech. Hopefully the reaction is educating people on the right as to the fine lines there with speech. But that's about as much speech as we can fit in. So with that, we'll come back.
Yeah, we can just do a a cut to Monday. We don't have to do musical because that'll just take away time. So basically, we're talking to you now on Saturday, and in a second, we're going to be talking to you on Monday. That is yesterday.
Get your glasses on because the eclipse is coming.
Oh, we have to get glasses.
Yeah, I think we got to figure out where to do that.
Hello, Monday. And hello to you, Saturday, from us here on Monday, and a special hello to those of you on Tuesday who are listening to this live, and also special greetings to those of you in future days who are listening to this program as the future unwinds. It is currently Eclipse Day. The eclipse has begun. We are in a wonderful little town called Goodlettsville in Tennessee. It's just a few miles away from Nashville. And, well, what have you seen so far, Kyle?
Oh, all kinds of things. We've been looking for different vantage points. I'd say Goodlettsville has been good to us. Yeah, that's a bad joke, but no.
Not a joke at all. They've been good to us.
We went to, for instance, a breakfast place, and they actually gave us a hint as to where to go to get the right glasses, which we couldn't find anywhere. The whole time we were riding out here, we were calling places that were supposed to have them, sold out everywhere, all the way up from New Orleans.
You were getting really, really depressed because you kept calling places, gas stations and convenience stores and big department stores, and everybody was saying no. Some of them even said it before they talked to you. They'd say, if you're calling about glasses, don't bother. So here we wound up thinking we would never get glasses, but we went to a local breakfast place, just asked the waitress, so we hear of anybody who has glasses. And she said the local hardware store just got 4,000 of them last night. It was on the news. I figured when she said it was on the news, we'd never get them. But there was a line outside, and we waited on it for about 45 minutes, and we got our glasses. We have them now. Unfortunately, right now, the sun is behind a cloud. It looks like it's about to emerge. What I'm worried about, we're at the first stages. It's about maybe a quarter covered. I'm worried that in an hour when it's total, it might be behind a cloud. And Tatao, they only last for about 2.5 minutes. So fingers crossed. Whatever happens, though, it's going to be dark. There's enough blue sky where we'll probably see stars. And if you just listen for a second, right now you hear daytime insects in the field that we're standing in. And you might also hear a siren in the distance. And that's going to change. Birds will say, hey, it's nighttime. They'll go to sleep. Night animals will come out, and it'll be a lot of confusion.
Yeah, definitely. Those are the really interesting things we're looking for. There are a lot of different events going on, but we're choosing to kind of be on our own here, and we really want that ambiance of how nature, how the community will react. Of course, there are people out with lawn chairs around us and in various places, but we're here talking to you, and this is basically the first part of it for us. My first real full eclipse. I think I've seen partial and lunar, but this will be unlike anything else. As you said, regardless of cloud cover, they seem to be moving pretty steadily, slowly but steadily. So I'm venturing to say that we'll maybe catch this totality right as the sun is in the clearing. But it remains to be seen. It's we're gonna play by ear and basically keep listening, keep our eyes open, and just see how this progresses.
And by the way, for us to get here right now, what we had to do, we might sound a little tired. We stayed up all night because we weren't too keen on paying $800 a night, well, that's what they're charging for this night, in the whole area. And all the rooms are sold out. You can't really get a room anyway, unless you want to pay more than $800. And we figured, you know what, we've done this before. We can stay up all night and just be here when it happens. And, yeah, it's work, and we're going to go to sleep almost as soon as it's over. The sun's coming out right now, so that's good. You really can't tell that there's an eclipse going on yet, except for the people in the parking lot standing looking up with eclipse glasses.
Well, you just checked, and you confirmed it's about a quarter?
A little less than a quarter. So I imagine we're going to come back in about a half hour, and at that time, I think it'll be a pronounced difference.
Very noticeable and stuff. But it is progressing, and this is the very first part of it.
And like you said, we're doing this on our own. We're in a field next to a shopping center. There's a huge gathering in a park nearby. we kind of figured we don't want a whole crowd of people around. Someone's going to have a bullhorn and who knows, all kinds of noise and inappropriate remarks and things like that. This way we can just make our own observations for you, the WUSB audience.
Yeah, and then there's obviously sirens and things already, so who knows? It's good that we're a little bit, we have a buffer so that we can see the chaos coming.
Let's break for a half hour. We'll be back, and by that time, I imagine the sun will be halfway covered. All right, well, it's 1 o'clock, and we're about 27 minutes away from totality here in Tennessee for the eclipse, and it definitely feels a little bit different. It feels like evening right now, and I'm not sure the recording will tell us this, but I think the crickets and katydids sound a little bit different. Maybe the night shift is coming out now. We do have a slight mix of clouds, but the sun is coming out. We've looked at it a few times with our special eclipse glasses, and it's about halfway covered now. But as I said, in another 26 minutes now, it's going to be totally covered. And that's the part that's going to be really interesting because, well, I don't know, even if it's behind clouds, I think it'll be pretty fascinating because everything will turn dark. But if it's out, it'll be really amazing. It's safe to look at it when it's in totality. You can look directly at it because the sun is not there. It's covered. But, again, it only lasts for 2 minutes and about 28 seconds. Do you notice any differences, Kyle?
Well, just to add to what you said about the darkness, I do feel the intensity of the light is lower, and it doesn't feel like it's radiating as much heat. And the sky, the contrast I noticed is bluer. It was a lot whiter and a little bit more hazy with the clouds earlier. When I look away from the sun, I see blue sky, and it looks a lot deeper, blue. I have noticed also the sound. It is a little quieter, a little lower, in intensity as well. That may change, we, like you said, may experience the night shift, of the, insects and so on.
I put my eclipse glasses on, because the sun has come out, I'm looking up at the sun right now. And I'd say it looks like a crescent moon right now, so it's more than halfway covered.
As you said, it's coming in waves.
Yeah.
We're getting a little bit of clouds. They're moving, so we see lines of the clouds, and then the light will be back. And those waves seem to be consistent, so when it is at totality, we'll just monitor the time. If we happen to have a clear moment, then we can look up safely without the glasses.
There's a bird above your head that's flying. I think he's on his way back to his nest, thinking that it's evening time. Evening is approaching early today.
That is peculiar, yeah. He's going into a tree right now.
So now we know where that bird lives. And I'm told that's something that will happen. You'll see birds doing that. They will go into night mode, and owls might come out. Whatever is out at night will come out, and then I guess go back when the sun reappears. It's amazing how regimented nature is. I could never do that myself.
I'm going to look now.
We expect this to go ahead and look. I'll hold the microphone.
Yeah.
And you go ahead and look.
We got a lot going on here, so it's an interactive program. Oh yes, okay. So yeah, that looks like a toenail. Crescent, as you said, and we're just looking briefly. We can use these for up to a minute or two safely, but we're preferring to just glance because the reality is you are staring at the sun. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I can confirm it is almost to sort of a crescent moon. One other thing we saw is the automated lights going on. So these lights in the parking lot and so on are turning on because they have a light sensor. And I think the combination of the waves of clouds as well as the lowering intensity of the sun itself is causing those sensors to think it's nighttime, I need to turn on. So it's really interesting here.
We're gonna sign off in just about a minute, but I just want to let people know, in case you missed this, There will be another one in 2024, and this one is going to come a lot closer to the northeast. It's going to, the band will kind of go from the southwest into the northeast. I don't think it's going to hit Long Island, but it'll go a lot closer than this one did, which kind of started in the northwest and ended in the southeast. You know, there's another eclipse, actually, another total eclipse. There's eclipses all the time, but the total ones are the ones you really want to be a part of. 2019 and 2020 in South America. So if you're in that part of the world, or if you want to make plans to go to that part of the world, two eclipses coming up. People say this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's not. I mean, it can be, but there are eclipses all the time. If you miss this one, don't feel terrible about it, because you might have to do a little bit of work and effort to get there, but they happen, and there will be others and more once-in-a-lifetime opportunities.
The important thing is to enjoy it, and I think we're enjoying it. This is cool. So I guess we'll have to check back.
Yes. By the way, I am enjoying this whole area. I love Tennessee. I love the people. Mississippi, Louisiana. We've been to all these places. Everyone is so cool and so nice and you know, just amazing people. Such good food, such good conversations. And I'm not surprised by that. I don't want to sound surprised that this part of the world is fun and good. But I just think people need to know that.
Absolutely. And they've also lit up every time you mention the eclipse. They know people are coming out here for it, and I think they're pleased to experience it with people. And, wow, look at those beams of light through the clouds. It's really softening up here.
Yeah, we have to go because we want to bring you the exciting culmination of this. I'll be coming on in about 20 minutes with the actual totality, and we'll experience what it's like to actually be completely dark in the middle of the day. Okay, it's really exciting here. We're only about 6 or 7 minutes away from totality. Really good news. The clouds have moved apart. We have a full blue sky with the sun. We will be able to see when it is completely obscured. And it's gotten significantly chillier, I would say. It was 94 or something before, and it's got to be in the low 80s now, I think. And the sounds around us, I would say those are definitely evening sounds.
Yeah, it feels calmer and more like dusk. If I just point kind of like we did when we started, you can kind of hear it's very low. Really almost nothing. The insects and so on that were much louder earlier have really quieted down.
I wonder, though, if the nighttime insects, which are traditionally much louder, will wake up and make a lot of noise for a few minutes while it's completely dark. I think it very possibly will happen that way. But I also want to point out the human reactions. We're outside a Kroger's a supermarket. All the employees are standing outside watching this amazing phenomenon. You get a sense, I don't see any traffic. Cars are just kind of stopped now. And the whole town here in Tennessee is just kind of paused, watching, just in wonderment and amazement. It's one of the most incredible things.
Yeah, and it's also worth pointing out, normally when you get a sunset, you get an orange or a red because it's way off on the horizon. This is going to be much different, and I'm really interested in what the direction it is that it comes from. I know that the sun will be over Oregon and casting its shadow in our direction. It started over the east and has moved over the course of this. So for our locale, that's where it'll be, but it's not on the horizon, so we're not getting any of those oranges or pinks. This looks like a normal day, but tinted, a little bit darker. It's still light, but you can feel it. It definitely feels dimmer.
Yeah, it's a feeling I've been used to lately. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. But it's getting close. I'd say in about less than 4 minutes, we should put our glasses on and watch the sun and describe what we see, because that is when we will see the sun wink out, as Arthur C. Clarke would say. And at that point, it becomes safe for us to take our glasses off and look directly at the sun that's not there, and observe what's going on around us. Hopefully we will see stars come out. I think we might even be able to see stars come out this early. The sky is really starting to get evening darkish. Not quite there yet, but I could see it happening soon. I hear birds making twittering noises like they do when they're about to go to sleep. I don't know how I know that. It's just it's the noise I'm familiar with. And I'm hearing sounds like crickets and things that weren't making sounds before. And it just it feels cooler.
Yes, and more of the lights are coming on. I was talking about earlier.
Yes, those lights came back on. They were on before because of the cloud cover. Now they're on. There's no cloud cover, so they're definitely being triggered.
Yeah, it's really an interesting transition that we're just really getting the sensation of now.
Well, look at this. Gnats have come out. These are evening bugs that die for your eyes. Welcome, guys. Okay. You got the wake-up call, I see. They weren't here before. Now they're here because it's evening time, and that's when they attack you. I'm amazed. Look at this parking lot. There's no activity. Nobody's driving around. People are just staring at the sky. It's like some kind of science fiction film. It's really amazing. And I got to say, I love this town, Goodlettsville, that we just kind of found at random because we figured we'd stay somewhere near Nashville, which is the biggest city that is in the path of this eclipse. But staying in Nashville itself the night before the eclipse is probably hard to do. Plus, staying in the city is always a bit of a challenge. So we picked a town that was a little bit of a drive away, and it worked out so perfectly. Such great places here, great people, and it really has been welcoming to us.
Okay, and it's so tempting to look up, but you have to use your protection. I glanced up briefly, but I look away immediately because it is bright. You see the twinkle that, as you said, will wink out. It feels like when you're on a sunny day and you glance up, but it is much dimmer. It's lower light, but those light waves are still getting to your eye, so... I just made the mistake of glancing up, and I remember I have my glasses in my hand. But
that's it. You're blind. You're
I know it's over.
Step
I can't
aside.
See.
No, you're blind.
No, but we're drinking water, and we're going to take care of ourselves. Hopefully, we can recover from all the damage we do.
Wow, look at how dark it's getting.
Even more darker.
Well, it's
now.
Getting dark fast.
Yeah,
that's what's amazing about
it. You can
this.
Feel it. Yeah, it's.
We have about I'd say a minute to go before we put our glasses on and actually witness this ourselves. In fact, Kyle, why don't you put your glasses on now? I'll hold this microphone. But please take it back for me so I can put my glasses on once you're done with that. Of course, you can't see me with your glasses on. You can't see anything except the sun, and soon you won't be able to see that.
It's okay because we're in a good place. We don't have to move anywhere. I'll fix mine so that I don't make the mistake of glancing like that because it really that scared me because I did it, and I knew I wouldn't. I would regret it, and I didn't want to do it,
but
I did it.
It's different from working from looking at the sun when it's setting because it's not as bright then. But here, it's up in the top of the sky, and it's much brighter. And yeah, you can really damage your eyes by doing that, even for a little bit. And with the glasses too, I don't look for very long. And oh my God, it is getting really dark here. It's scary. Imagine not knowing what the hell is going on, and just feeling like you know, kind of everything is fading out. That's what I'm getting. I'm going to put my glasses on, if you could hold this.
So when I'm looking up, I'm seeing a very... The crescent is getting smaller and thinner.
We have about a minute to tell.
It's less than half of the sun itself. It's really maybe even almost a quarter on one side that I'm actually seeing any light.
And it should be going on in about a minute. I wonder what kind of human reaction we'll get when it actually does that. I notice I can see below my glasses, so I have to be careful not to tilt my head up too high, or it'll leak in from below. But wow!
I think we're going to hear cheering.
I think so too, as the sun is finally destroyed.
Okay, this is significantly darker. The colors are going away.
Okay. I think it's about to wink out. It's turning into a tiny little sliver now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And when it does turn into a sliver, we're going to take our glasses... Oh, when it goes away, we're going to take our glasses off, look at it. Let's listen now to the sound of the sun disappearing. The sun is gone. Wow. And it's now safe to look at this for about a minute, a minute and a half. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You see that?
That is so cool.
Oh, my God. Words can't describe this. First of all, it's gotten so dark. It's past twilight. But just looking at that, I'll try to describe it. It's, it's just this black disc surrounded by this bright light, this godlike thing. I'm sorry to get religious, but wow, this is like a white like I've never seen before. And Jupiter is out. Jupiter is to the immediate. I'm not sure what direction I'm looking in, but at a 4 o'clock angle from the sun. Let's just look at this while we can, because we won't have this chance again for quite a while. That is something. Now imagine looking up at that and not knowing what is going on.
Yeah, it is a halo of white light. I see stars behind it, just faintly on the left side there. It is these bright. Some of the wispiness of the clouds are directing the light. There's definitely a ring around it. I am checking with my glasses to make sure I don't see any light yet. But it looks like the white of like a moon, but it's simply surrounding the moon that is now totally in front of the sun.
Yeah, I'm still not seeing it in my glasses, so I think it's still safe, but not for very much longer. So I see some orange at the bottom starting to peek out. So I'm going to say, make one last look and make that be it so that you don't get
okay,
it.
Yeah, I'm starting to see it as well. I will note that if we look behind us, it looks like a sunset. And that is the light casting, I think, beyond us, where it's still light. I don't see any light, maybe a faint glint starting soon, but this is truly amazing. This is really, really spectacular. It's really dark. not pitch black. There is still light, but around this... this phenomena is definitely very dark, dark enough to even see some stars behind it. Okay, it is now coming back around, E, just starting, and yeah, okay. I see a sliver of it now.
And now the sliver is back on the right-hand side, and the sun is making its return. Let's take our glasses off and see how quickly light comes back. Oh, it's already significantly brighter. That is simply incredible. I mean, I was blown away. I'd never really seen a picture that did it justice. So seeing it like this, and I'm not looking at the sun directly right now, but I'm aware of it above my head. It's got this kind of whitish tinge to it. If you sort of look up a little bit with it in the corner of your eye, it doesn't feel like the sun. It feels like something alien, something just completely unknown to us. Wow, that was... That was something. And Kyle, you're noticing a bunch of planes that are flying in the general vicinity of the sun.
Yeah, there's one actually crossing under now. Oh, I accidentally glanced up again.
Will you stop doing that?
Look, it's just a glance. It's not. I'm not staring at it. But we're gonna recover from this. We'll be okay. We're not doing anything foolish. These two planes are flying very close together. I'm looking for planes that look like they're doing science because there are
another plane flying directly towards them.
That's right. There's a lot of science and research of this phenomena going on, and of course, people traveling are probably witnessing this en route in their travels wherever that may take them.
I know our friends at Amtrak had a special train that went down through Illinois for people to watch the eclipse, and I know Alaska Airlines in the past has had flights follow the eclipse for its passengers. So, yeah, there's a lot of this going on. I hope we hear from listeners who have experienced this in different ways.
Yeah, the Eclipse Express.
And by the way, I want to thank our listeners, several of which wrote to us asking if we would join them because they were in the path, everyone from Oregon to South Carolina. Thank you so much for inviting us. We wound up here because we were traveling and this seemed like the best place, and I don't regret it at all. This was amazing. The people of Tennessee are incredible, and this has been a milestone for me, and I'm sure for so many other people, and I'm addicted to eclipses now.
Yeah, that was really something special, really spectacular, and I think we timed it right, and gosh, it's amazing how we can calculate these things now, and really makes you appreciate all the people who've been fascinated by this for years and years in the past.
They could calculate this thousands of years ago. I mean, those guys, they didn't have all these distractions of TV and baseball and things like that. So they were able to figure, they probably knew when this one was coming too. I can't even imagine how. But yeah, it's just something that we can do all kinds of amazing scientific experiments now but it's called Hard Calculations. That's something that people have been obsessed with from the beginning. And it's just amazing. I feel a link to that. I feel a link to the what people have been studying throughout the millennia. Wow. Okay, well, you know, we're in our final minute or so here. So this is something we weren't sure we were even going to be able to pull off. And this is coming to you one day after it happened. I'm sure you're hearing all kinds of reports from people. And I know in New York you saw a partial eclipse. And, yeah, I'm sorry about that. There's nothing we could do to help bring the eclipse to New York. I don't know when the next eclipse is going to come to New York. I don't see that. You have to ask Aristotle or somebody who calculated it. But there are other ones. Take a bus or a train or something. You can see them and experience what we just saw. A total eclipse is really the only way to do that. Annular eclipses are kind of like total eclipses, but they're not, because the sun is further away, or is it the moon that's further away? Something's further away. The sun is closer. That's right. You have these in the summertime because we're closer to the sun. So the moon, you know what, I'm not going to explain it right now because I can't, I'm still blown away, but there are different kinds of eclipses. The total eclipses are the most amazing ones, and I will never forget this.
Yeah, it really is spectacular, and gosh, something I never thought I would be able to do. This, I didn't even think we would be doing. You know, people are starting to talk about it, and it seemed like a lot of work for this small moment, but boy, is it a special thing. And as you heard, people really excitedly cheering and welcoming this celestial event. It just it really had us captivated and dumbfounded.
All right, we are out of time. Thanks everybody for listening, and thanks Kyle so much for being a part of this as well, because I never could have done this without you. Always wanted to play this song without playing Brain Damage before it, so here it is, the song that is so appropriate at this moment, Eclipse. Good night.
Bye.
All that you touch and all that you see, all that you taste, all you feel, and all that you love, and all that you hate, are you distressed? Are you saved? And all that you give, and all that you deal, and all that you buy, pick, borrow, or steal, and all you create, and all you destroy, and all that you do, and all that you say, and all that you eat, and everyone you meet, and all that you slight, and everyone you fight, and all that you smell.